I'll catch you manana. Uncle Sam's only man packing katanas. Remain anonymous while I'm leaving remains.
That's welcome to episode 35 of Upshift, My Little Crossovers. Upshift is No Direction Network's Essence 20 podcast, where every 2 weeks we give you an edge on Essence 20. I'm Ryan Costello, one of the designers of the Essence 20 system and an author on the G.I. Joe Transformers and My Little Pony role-playing game core rulebooks, as well as over a dozen other Essence 20 products from Renegade. Before we begin, although I have worked for Renegade on Essence 20, Upshift is not associated with or produced by Renegade Game Studios, and this is not an official Essence 20 podcast. I don't know if I've had much of a chance to talk about this on the podcast, but I recently, finally, got into an Essence 20 game, a G.I. Joe game specifically with crossover potential, in that we are in the world of the Skybound's Energon universe, which is explicitly a G.I. Joe Transformers crossover universe, and the GM is being extra generous about the other settings that can be found in the campaign. So we know we're G.I. Joes, we know we are interacting with Transformers, but we've been on an island that Godzilla walked past, and the just beyond just Hasbro properties, it seems like all of popular culture has some place in his world. He's really alluded to the fact that he has grand schemes for where a lot of popular culture already fits in. And that's why he allows us to make any character we want. He even specifically said we could make magical characters. And we have an NPC, a magical NPC that we've interacted with. Although we haven't seen him casting spells, it really, right from the onset, like, this is one of the first NPCs we met. We met Beachhead, an established G.I. Joe character, and this NPC, whose name is escaping me right now, that we were told right away, this guy has spellcasting powers. Recently, our entire party got captured, and the GM gave us the chance to either choose to do, like, a jailbreak, you know, play as our regular characters escaping from prison, or if we wanted to, we could all roll up new characters and escape from prison, and help our original characters escape from prison. Even left us open that going forward, we can swap between the different characters if we go that route. So that's what I voted for. That's the one that we eventually decided to do as a group, and I was excited because the first character that I made was a Rocketeer, and was a pretty straightforward Rocketeer build. Rocketeer is a technician build from Cobra Codex that lets you have a jetpack. That's its big thing. And that's why I am a rocket engineer. I fly around, I fix things if I need to, and I can fight with my jetpack based tactics. So it was not a wacky character. I definitely could have drawn from a lot more sources building this character, but I just wanted to play this character, even though it was straightforward and I had a lot more options to choose from. Now that I'm playing a character that more or less has a short shelf life, even though I do have the potential to return to it in the future, I was like, all right, this character, I'm going to go all out. I am going to make a military magician, some kind of spellcasting Joe. And it was in the conversation leading up to these new characters that one of my friends who were playing with, Charles, realized just how integrated a lot of Essence 20 players treat the My Little Pony core rulebook. He does not have a full breadth of Essence 20 books. In fact, he got the G.I. Joe core rulebook to support me and as a fan of G.I. Joe. And I think he had picked up a couple of other Essence 20 books, but because he wasn't in the game yet, he didn't go all in. But now that he's been playing in the game regularly and he's been hearing us discuss our character creation options, he's picked up Cobra Codex and he's looked into picking up some other books. But yeah, My Little Pony was not on his radar. I think he was aware that it was also an Essence 20 setting, but he had no intention of buying it. And yet here we were, just a bunch of 40-year-old men talking about their G.I. Joe characters and treating My Little Pony as seriously as we were treating Power Rangers and Transformers, which, you know, that's natural for me. I'm a big fan of My Little Pony, and there's a reason that I went out of my way to make sure that I was working on the core rulebook. But I don't think he was expecting everyone to treat the My Little Pony sourcebook as a viable source of options for Essence 20 characters. So that's one of the reasons that I decided, you know what, I should cover My Little Pony, using My Little Pony and other Essence 20 settings on Upshift. The reason that we never covered the My Little Pony core rulebook on the show is that Jason had nothing to do with it. Jason developed most of the Essence 20 line, but My Little Pony has often been treated as its own line that just happens to use the Essence 20 system. And so it would have been one of those episodes where I am talking the whole time. He would have thrown in a couple of things, but he didn't have any specific experience or insight beyond maybe some questions for me. Because I don't even know if he'd read the My Little Pony core rulebook or if he was just going off or like if his exposure to Essence 20 was only through the books that he did work on. But now that I'm solo podcast, now that I'm a solo podcaster, I have the option to do these, and it is okay that it's a one-sided conversation, because no matter what, it's going to be a one-sided conversation. But the reason that I'm specifically covering this topic now is that I'm recording this on August 1st. Day one of Gen Con 2024, the biggest 4 days of gaming, and a big Gen Con for the My Little Pony Roleplaying Core Rulebook. First of all, it is up for an Annie, Best Family Game / Product, and the Annie Awards are the night that this episode goes live. This is going live on August 2nd, and that's a Friday, and traditionally the Annies are the evening of the first Friday of Gen Con. Well, the Friday of Gen Con. Gen Con is 4 days. There's only the one Friday. So, yeah, within a few hours of this podcast releasing, we will find out if the My Little Pony Role-Playing Game Core Rulebook won the Best Family Game / Product from the 2024 Annies, which would be very exciting. And the other reason that, the other reason that Gen Con 2024 is big for My Little Pony is that we have another Worlds Collide event. And in this case, it is the Pony Puzzle. Not only is this the first year that My Little Pony has been involved in the Worlds Collide. This is only our second Worlds Collide, of course. And last year, it was Power Rangers, G.I. Joe, and Transformers. This year, My Little Pony's been added to the mix, and in a big way. It is set in Equestria. It is called the Pony Puzzle. There's no escaping the pony elements in this year's Worlds Collide. It is called the Pony Puzzle. It is set in Equestria. And as the event description explains, you are trying to figure out why suddenly some people have been arriving on Equestria from other planes of existence, and why some of them are arriving with very pony-like features. Not only is this the first year that My Little Pony is involved in Worlds Collide, but this is also the first year where crossover characters are welcome and encouraged. So last year when we were doing Worlds Collide, the Battle for the Multiverse, yes, it was G.I. Joe, Transformers, and Power Rangers, but it was all single setting, so characters, so you were not mixing matching, even though the rules allowed for it. One of the reasons that we decided to do that was because one of the incentives for signing up for Worlds Collide Battle for the Multiverse was that everyone that played at Gen Con, that participated at the Gen Con event, got a copy of The Field Guide to Action and Adventure, which is the book that explains how to do a crossover character. And so if you came with a crossover character, odds are you had the field guide, or you had reliable access to the field guide to action and adventure. Yeah, you know, it's one of those books that is useful to have extras within a group, but still, it took away from the incentive. But now we can actually assume that people have the field guide to action and adventure if you participated in both of the Worlds Collides. And so we want to encourage people to put it to use. We don't want to say, here's the book about how to make crossover characters, but you can't make crossover characters for these official events. One problem. The Field Guide to Action and Adventure covered, once again, G.I. Joe, Transformers, and Power Rangers. My Little Pony was not included in that book, and if this event was going to be all about crossing over with My Little Pony, we needed to figure out those rules. So when I signed on to write the second Worlds Collide, I had one request, and that was that I also get to write a blog post to accompany the event and help with character creation, and basically include the kind of content that would have been in a My Little Pony chapter or section of Field Guide to Action and Adventure. Now, this is a fraction of what would have been in an actual My Little Pony crossover book. This is just the most utilitarian items that you would need to make a My Little Pony character. We could have gone all out if we ever do a Field Guide to Action Adventure 2 or Field Guide 2, and that includes My Little Pony options. So this was just kind of like scratching the surface. So what I want to do today is talk about how you can cross over your My Little Pony characters. So a lot of this will basically be a summary of what went into that blog post, which is called Gen Con Worlds Collide, the Pony Puzzle Event Character Preparations, and was posted by Renegade Game Studios on May 10th, 2024. And it was kind of stealthily posted because I didn't even realize it was up until Spy on the Discord forum, the Renegade Discord, pointed it out and was like, what is this blog post? And it's amazing and has all this content for character creation. I don't know why it didn't get more promotion. Maybe the idea was just that because it is tied to the Worlds Collide event, that people that needed this information would seek it out and find it. And so it didn't need to be on the social media platforms, which cover all of the games. And so this would have been a very niche audience. But ultimately, while this was made because Worlds Collide 2, the Pony Puzzle, needed it, it is useful beyond just Worlds Collide. This is useful for anyone that wanted to do My Little Pony character creation or crossover character creation. But before we get to the how, let's talk about why. Why would you want to bring My Little Pony elements into your Essence 20, into other Essence 20 settings? What does the My Little Pony role-playing game core rulebook specifically have to offer the other Essence 20 settings? I say core rulebook specifically, it's the one that I worked on, so I am more familiar with it. And most of what I'm saying will also apply to the Dark Skies Over Equestria and Story of Seasons. See, I even had to jog my memory to even remember the other books that are out there. Just shows that I'm less familiar with it, so I don't want to guarantee that everything I say equally applies. Although, you know what? I did work on Dark Skies Over Equestria. I did most of the changeling mechanics. I'm not going to start with the obvious thing. I'm going to actually save the obvious one for last, for what you would bring from My Little Pony into other Essence 20 settings. I'm going to start with the influences. And I have a confession to make. It's recently dawned on me that I have underdeveloped influences for the G.I. Joe setting. As people know, I do most of the outlines for the content that's in the G.I. Joe role-playing game supplements. So the source books that have come out since. I've written on almost all of them. I've dictated what content goes into each of them. And recently I realized, man, I have not put in a whole lot of influences. And a lot of the influences are just, this influence gives you access to another faction. So yeah, when you take out those influences, that you've got even fewer influences. And I kind of feel bad. I feel like there's a lot of areas for character creation that the G.I. Joe books could be covering, like stuff that really is specific to the G.I. Joe setting that I have just neglected to explore. And as of this writing, I've already done some work on some future projects that haven't been announced yet, so it might be a while before I can officially correct that in a future book that I outline. So, luckily, My Little Pony is actually very good about influences. My Little Pony fills the gap because at one point, influences were directly tied to your cutie mark. And cutie marks are, you know, for those not familiar with My Little Pony, you probably do know that on their flanks, they do have just a symbol. This is more than just aesthetic. It actually kind of ties the ponies into their destiny or their special talents. And the way the cutie marks were originally designed was that you would then choose a skill specialization and you would get certain advantages when you were using that specialization or when that specialization applied. It was modified and broadened, and we're actually going to talk about it a little bit when we talk about Origins. But the benefit still, even though it was modified, is that we designed enough influences for every skill in the game. And then a couple more were even added after the fact. So if you want influences, the My Little Pony core rulebook has 20 of them, maybe even more than that. And I will also apologize that while we were promoting the book, I said that it had 20 original influences, forgetting that for whatever reason, we imported one influence. We imported Adventurer. Oh, no, two. We imported Adventurer and we imported Artisan. I think Artisan is the same one that appears in the other Essence 20 books. Yeah. So boy, that's something I've come to regret just because it ruins the talking point. Like, we could have said, you have these 20 new influences. Or specifically, there are 24 influences in the book. 22 of them are new. The time that I saved just importing Adventurer and Artisan instead of coming up with new ones, which would have opened up other ways that you can express yourself if you like those themes, but you didn't necessarily like the mechanics that were tied to them from G.I. Joe and any other place. I believe these also appeared in Power Rangers. Yeah, like it saved me very little time. So there was very little advantage to me to do this. It lost the talking point, which just makes... I am pedantic in that way, and so I don't want to say there's 24 new influences when really there's 22. Not just because it's, you know, lying in advertisement or lack of truth in advertisement, but it really is just... Boy, it would have been more elegant to just say 24, like that all of the influences are new. And yeah, like, for a lot of reasons, I regret that we put those two in. Anyway, I apologize. So other than those two, you do have 22 new influences, and they are each tied to a skill. And so when you're building your character, no matter how, whether you're mechanical-minded or character or story-minded or whatever, personality-minded, at some point you will fill out your skill section and you will see which skills you are higher, which skills are lower. And sometimes you'll even have a concept where it's like, oh, I wish I had a couple of extra skill points to put in this skill, but I can't. These influences are a great place to look to either bolster the thing that you are good at or shore up an area that your backstory tells you you should be better at, but unfortunately your skill selection didn't quite actualize. And they're just fun. They're fun. They're useful. They are a variety of themes, all built around skills. So if you find you're building a character and you've used a lot of the influences or you've seen a lot of the influences, you know, at the tables you've played at and you're looking for something new, the My Little Pony core rulebook is a treasure trove of new influences. Next, we're looking at origins and roles. And I've bunched these together because these options, although they are usually the biggest choices you make for your character, they are really tied to the setting. So origins of My Little Pony is your creature type. And if we're just looking at the core rulebook, it's Pegasus, Earth Pony, or Unicorn. And while mechanically you can like move away from what those are, which is just what kind of horse person are you, it requires a lot of reskinning, and that's between you and your GM if that's what you allow. So yeah, like mechanically, if you want to make like some kind of harpy, the unicorn would work just as well in a game where that kind of option is allowed. Sorry, I said the unicorn, I meant the Pegasus. Likewise, if you want to make some kind of telepath or telekinetic, the unicorn is a great choice. And if you just want to make, if you just want an option that has no definition to it, you just want the maximum amount of customizability, the Earth Pony is a valid option. But most of these ideas, you can find in the other settings. That's not really true. But if they are appropriate to the setting, then that setting will eventually introduce an origin that is like that. So if you can avoid reskinning, you probably would rather do that. That's why I'm not saying buy these for the origins. And likewise, the roles are very specific to a setting like My Little Pony, which allows for combat, expects that combat will happen from time to time, but that most of your adventures will be problem solving, puzzle solving, and supporting one another. And that there will be a larger amount of downtime between adventures where you are just living your pony lifestyle and your friends are helping you with that. So that applies to 5 out of the 6 roles. The roles are tied to the elements of harmony, which is very rooted in the setting. Each of the main 6 characters has is linked to one of the elements of harmony. Moving on to origins. So normally, with how crossover character creation works, origins can also be taken exactly as they are. But by now, we've got to the point where in some games, origins is tied to your creature type. So that's My Little Pony and Transformers. And in some of them, it's aspect of your personality or your history, which is Power Rangers and G.I. Joe. And again, Origins was specifically chose to be broad enough that it served the setting it was in. But when you start crossing over and you've got all of these different definitions of what the origin of a character is, suddenly some origins are not addressing everything that the origin does when compared to other to origins from other settings. Specifically, we're talking about the shape of the creature. We very rarely define the shape of the creature because in G.I. Joe and in G.I. Joe and Power Rangers, you're human, most likely. In My Little Pony, you're a pony or some other mythical creature. Or I should say a pony or some mythical creature, because ponies are not mythical, which surprised my daughter when she was watching My Little Pony as a kid and then one day found out that ponies are real, but unicorns and Pegasus are not. And in Transformers, we actually do go into a lot of detail about what your body is. In fact, the origins are split into two different versions of what your body looks like, although one of them is assumed to be bipedal, humanoid-looking. And then the other one is where the majority of the meat of your origin go in. So, to neutralize all of this, the blog post introduces the idea that you are defining whether your character is bipedal or quadrupedal. And while this is mostly a cosmetic choice, like I basically wanted that if you wanted to show up with a G.I. Joe character, but say they look like a pony, you can do that. We just had a little, or I just added a little bit of mechanics to it in that bipedal characters get 6 hands of equipment. Quadrupedal characters only get 4 hands of equipment, but they don't suffer a snag for dealing lethal damage with their unarmed attacks. It is a minor thing, and generally it kind of evens out because one of the 2 hands of equipment the bipeds will use will probably be a melee weapon. Otherwise, they're always going to be suffering a downshift if they're not dealing stun damage, unless they take other options like, violent, I think, is the influence in the Cobra Codex that lets you ignore that downshift as well. And I should point out there's, I think, 3 options at this point now that let you ignore the downshift for unarmed combat. They do not stack. They are not, you get an upshift, or maybe one of them is. In any case, the intention is that these are 3 different ways to come to the same conclusion, not some way to get up 3 on your non-lethal attacks. Or I guess up 2, after it neutralizes the down 1. Yeah, so the majority of this choice is what you want to look like, and then the one mechanical effect it will have is whether you are then very good at bucking, but not built for carrying a lot of things, or whether you're bipedal and so you can access pockets and backpacks and just carry equipment more easily. And I already had fun with this in that Millennium Falcon build on the essential builds on the No Direction Network, where I built a Millennium Falcon that turns into a unicorn. Tied into Origins are cutie marks, and in this case, unless you take an influence we're going to talk about in a second, the cutie mark rule is actually similar to what I had described the original intent for the cutie mark rule was before it was changed in development. I just find it's too loose the way it was defined in development, and it's too easy for one character, unintentionally, to be just plain better at something than another character. The way it is in the core rulebook of My Little Pony is that you're choosing a skill or a specialization, and when that comes up, you gain an upshift. Which means that if I want to be the master of bugs, I might take animal handling with specialization in bugs. And if somebody else wants to just be a veterinarian and good with all animals, that means that anytime that comes up, including with bugs, they'll have an advantage, whereas I would only have to wait for my specialization to come up. It's messy. I actually strongly argued against it because I did not want to cause arguments at the table where one kid just didn't understand why they had a worse cutie mark than somebody else at the table. For whatever reason, my objections were ignored. I used this blog post to say, like, well, look, if we are going to be bringing My Little Pony options into the games that are a little more tactile with their rules, we need to make sure that we have the more balanced, more fair, and still fairly simple to implement version of the cutie mark rules. Now, the meat of this blog post is adapting the My Little Pony roles into other settings and vice versa. So if you're familiar with Field Guide to Action and Adventure, we divide the roles perks into three different categories. There's the role perks, which means that those are the ones that stay no matter how you modify the role. There are the faction perks, which are tied to more of how the role is aligned within the book that it is released in. So like Autobots for G.I. Joe and Autobots for G.I. Joe. Autobots for Transformers until you get the Decepticon Directive. G.I. Joe for G.I. Joe until you get Cobra Codex. And Power Rangers, it's just Power Rangers. I'll have to look into how the Psycho Rangers work because I know those are playable options. I'd imagine that it's a similar switch. So those are the faction perks. And then there are the setting perks, which is to exist in the world that this comes from. These are the additional benefits you get. And because with G.I. Joe and Transformers, this is just the focus. This area is probably a little bit more nebulous because it is mainly for rejiggering Power Rangers so that it aligns with the two settings that have focus options. Whereas My Little Pony, so I'll take a step back now and explain that although My Little Pony came out at the same time as the Field Guide to Action Adventure or slightly later, it was written way before, or at least my portions of it, which included the roles, was written way before the Field Guide to Action Adventure was written. Like the order that those first few Essence 20 releases came out is not reflective of the order that they were written in. So if you were wondering why the My Little Pony roles don't easily align with how the faction roles were written, it's because I'd done my work on G.I. Joe, I'd done my work on Cobra Codex, I'd done my work on My Little Pony. Sergeant Slaughter was in there somewhere. Then I did that work on Transformers. And then I did the Field Guide to Action and Adventure. So by the Field Guide to Action and Adventure, I'd done a lot of roles for Essence 20. And the idea that we would be doing these mix and matching of setting and factions was a fairly new idea. Like it had come to me during the writing of Transformers, which came out before My Little Pony. But, you know, just in the timeline, in the development of Essence 20, the idea came after. So the figuring out the faction perks and the setting perks for My Little Pony roles was a little tough, and it makes it implementing it not super smooth because you get a lot of stuff right at the beginning, and then the stuff that the rest of the benefits you get, you are losing them at a different rate than you are gaining them in the other settings. So specifically, we're looking at faction perks, the friendship circle, and the health bonuses are considered your faction perks. And generally, your faction perks do not extend through the life of a role, but the health bonuses are given at 5th, 10th, 15th, and 20th level. And it was either give these or like treat these as role perks, and then the faction perk being only friendship circle was not super powerful. So I decided that these health bonuses are some of the most powerful bonuses that the My Little Pony roles gain. So we are going to take those out when you switch factions because you get a lot more flexibility with the other factions. And Friendship Circle, as fun as it is, doesn't come up that often. Then we've got the setting perks. So every role has a perk with its name in it and then otherwise it follows a formula. So this was a little bit weird to write in the blog post. I had to write role in brackets is magic, talent for role, pillar of role, and princess of role. It's easier to spot which of your perks from your role are your setting perks, because the reason that these ones were chosen is because these kind of elevate the role beyond just someone who is honest, someone who is loyal, and they become someone that is magically aligned with the concept of loyalty, the magic. Logically aligned with the concept of honesty. So you will never become a princess of honesty if you join, if you bring the spirit of honesty to a G.I. Joe or Power Rangers or Transformers setting. I'm sorry to have taken this from you, but it does make the rules mechanically work a lot better. Um, There is one other exception to how you work, how the changing of settings works for the My Little Pony roles, and that is for Power Rangers. At first level, Power Rangers that are removing the setting from My Little Pony, they gain a general perk. And the reason for this is that Power Rangers just don't get as much at first level as the other factions, or sorry, as the other settings. And so to remove all of those My Little Pony perks would leave them with very little. So this is very powerful, and it is a little bit slanted, but ultimately it was to be the most fair. I guess I could have chose a specific general perk, like maybe a cute sense. No, I don't know. I'm just... Congratulations, Power Rangers. You got a power bump when you specifically bring a My Little Pony role to that setting. Like, it's just... It is the best compromise. It was not an ideal situation, but as I explained, this was not by design. This, most of the ability to change settings and factions was a happy accident with just how things were developed. And finally, I'm just going to bring attention to some other stuff from the blog post, and that is the new crossover influences. Like in the Field Guide to Action Adventure, there are a lot of influences that facilitate having a character that is both, like, that is a character of two worlds. So we've got the Cybertronian with attitude, we've got the Cybertronian military, that's to obviously have a Transformers Power Rangers, or Transformers G.I. Joe, respectively. And then there is, I forget, there's the G.I. Joe Power Rangers one, which is not common to me. But we have similar influences, but with My Little Pony. So you've got the adolescent pony, which is... Actually, that's not Pony with Attitude, right? Because that's a separate thing. Oh, no, that is. So Adolescent Pony is the same as Pony with Attitude, or like conceptually. Cybertronian Equestrian is for a Transformers My Little Pony character. And the Pony Protection Platoon, which I was really happy to find was a canonical military in the My Little Pony setting, is for G.I. Joe My Little Pony characters. There is one additional influence that I threw into the blog post, even though it wasn't mandatory to, you know, deliver on the promise of the blog post. And that is Cutie Marked, which gives you a cutie mark. And I thought it would just be fun to say that no matter what your character is, you're going to have a straight up human character. You could be playing Snake Eyes and you can get the Arashikage logo on your arm and you can say that that's not just a tattoo. That is your cutie mark. And you gain certain magical benefits from it. Now, I understand some people are picking a Best in 20 purely out of nostalgia or through strong connections to these brands. And if you're picking up the action adventure settings, it's because you're not looking for, you know, pastel adventures with a lot of magic and mythical creatures. And that's totally fine. I'm not saying everybody that is playing Best in 20 should pick up the My Little Pony core rulebook. But if you are interested in the idea of crossing over, or if you're interested in the idea of creating your own setting, which happens to have magic elements. So kind of like another build on the essential builds was the Monster Force Dracula from Fresh Monkey Fiction, which is an action figure line where the lore is that monsters and magical beings are the greatest threat to freedom. And so the United States government has started to put together an anti-monster squad that does include monster members, and it has Dracula as a military general. They're great action figures, and it's a fun concept, and it is something that we could definitely do as an Essence 20 setting. And if we did, I would basically look at what G.I. Joe options, what My Little Pony options to carry over and create a new core rulebook out of. So that's one of the greatest advantages to having the My Little Pony core rulebook, is that you can look at it and you can specifically look at the magic system and say, like, if I bring this into another setting, what does that do to that setting? I know that Transformers has a touch of magic to it. Power Rangers has a little bit more than a touch. G.I. Joe very occasionally dabbles with magical forces. Not straight up spellcasting. It's more usually you find a magical artifact. But in any case, none of those are in the core rulebooks for those settings. If those are important elements to you to those settings, then this is the easiest way that you can import them in. But if you're just looking for more options as a GM, as a player, the influences are amazing. And the other options are to varying degrees, depending on your setting. And that conflict chapter, again, is some valuable information. It's very SS20 specific, and I do think it makes the My Little Pony GMing chapter one of the strongest of all SS20 books, including the Field Guide to Action and Adventure. So thank you for joining me for episode 35 of Upshift. Before I go, I want to give a shout out to The Full Force. The Full Force is a G.I. Joe news podcast / YouTube channel. And I recently appeared on a special to cover the G.I. Joe role-playing game and to specifically talk about Intercontinental Adventures Factions Action Volume 2, which if you are at Gen Con, you have a chance to get an early copy of this. The whole print run was not ready to ship in time for a full August release, but enough items were able to be shipped to Indianapolis for an early release. So if you are curious about that book and you are not in Indianapolis, so you won't be able to access it until October or until whenever the PDF is available, check out that podcast. I go into a lot of detail about what's in that book, why I put that in, why I think this is such an important and special book in the G.I. Joe line. And we also preview some art that's in that book. This is another book that really stands out for the art that is in it. So if you're a fan of our art and you want to get a preview of it, if you're curious if Intercontinental Adventures is for you and you want to kind of get hints at what kind of content you'll find in there, check out this Full Force interview. You can go to YouTube and check The Full Force. You can also go to nodirectionpodcast.com if you like our content. We put out more great gaming podcasts for usually tied to Pathfinder and Starfinder. And in fact, the most recent episode of No Direction Beyond, which is our Starfinder podcast, lines up with the end of Starfinder First Edition. And so the hosts, Alex and James, decided to do a Hot Ones. They lined up a whole bunch of chicken wings with hot sauce, and they did a live recording of them suffering through the hottest sauces that they could find as a send-off, a spicy send-off to Starfinder. If you're asking yourself, what's the connection? There is none. It's just a fun way to mark an occasion. And so check that out. Normally, I say if you're a podcast listener and you listen to the podcast, if you're a video watcher, you watch the videos, this will be uploaded to our YouTube channel and is currently on demand on Twitch. This one I recommend watching. It's just more fun that way. And also on NoDirectionPodcast.com, you'll find the Essential Builds blog where I, when I have a little more time, write or adapt pop culture characters to SS20. And these are elaborate, somewhat complex builds that indulge in just the potential of the SS20 system. Just using the rules, the options, as written, as often as possible. Every now and then, I will give a little insight into tweaks I would make if given a chance to do another editing pass on some of these books. But yeah, for the most part, it's just looking at all options in the widening breadth of SS20 options and saying, if I'm making this specific character, what is the best way to do that with the tools that I have on hand? And I have a couple of fun ones in the hopper. I hope to get back to blogging for next week. We will see. This weekend, actually, the day that this episode comes out is one of my daughter's birthdays, and so that weekend is forfeit, so now I gotta find some time around the rest of my schedule to get back to writing my blog. I really hope to get to, and you know what, I'm even gonna say it to kind of put myself on notice. The next episode is going to be Deadpool. Deadpool movie is hot right now. I'm a big fan of the character, and a lot of the options for a great Deadpool build were locked in Intercontinental Adventures. And while I will reserve diving into all of the options for as regularly in the blog, because it's technically out there now, I feel comfortable in dipping into Intercontinental Adventures for a Deadpool build while Deadpool is still the hottest thing in social media. I also want to thank our patrons. If you want to help keep the servers running, keep the lights on around the No Direction network, you can go to patreon.com/NoDirection and throw in whatever money you support. I will admit that at one point there were a lot of exclusive bonuses to being a patron. At this point, it's just if you like what we do and you have a couple of extra dollars, we would really appreciate them. I have some ideas for things that we can bring back to the Patreon, but I guarantee you that they are long-term plans, and I don't know exactly when They are possible to enact. So I encourage people that are only into it or into our Patreon for the bonus content. No hard feelings if you stop supporting us. No problem if you want to wait and see for what's in it for you. But if you just like what we're doing and you understand that this is, we don't have ads. We don't run ads on the site. We don't run ads in the podcast. This is all just done out of our own pocket and out of the money that we gain from the Patreon. And so any support is appreciated. Finally, thank you to Word Burglar for the use of Letters from Snake Eyes Part 4. You can find out more at wordburglar.com. See you in 2 weeks for the next episode of Upshift. Lonzo would assure me that this was my new purpose with a team of green shirt, highly trained specialists. Kept it to myself, told the others don't question it, trust me. Some things are better left unsaid, except my demons that were screaming like the undead. I let them in every day, my main meditation was taking them down, my pain medication. Shanna sighed, and she knew she couldn't call me, at least until I found out what happened to Tommy. That mission was private. For now, the objective was stopping the threat of this venomous collective spreading across the globe. I was ready to lock and load with flash, grand slam, clutch, zap, and rock and roll. Hawk, stealer, grunt, breaker, and short fuse. And before I knew, I gained a whole lot more to lose. Accept the fear, don't let it scare you. When you move with the wind, no one can hear you. Fate's your friend one day, the next it takes lives. Assume the worst, but count on